Alan, I'm just going to squeeze by here, sorry. Okay, we'll take this here. So we're going to look on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph.
What do you want?
Gemara here tells a story. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, it's parallel to Tosas Dira Maschil V'onin. You have that? Pam achas hayisi mahalich baderech v'nichnasti l'churva achas mi'churvas Yerushalayim l'spalu bo'el yo zoche l'tov v'shamali ala pesach עד שסיימתי תפילוסי, ויחר שסיימתי תפילוסי, אמר לי, שום עליך רבי, אמרתי לו, שום עליך רבי ומורי, ואמר לי, בני מפני מה נכנסת לחור וזו, אמרתי לו לספל, אמר לי, היה לך לספל אל בדרך.
You should have done better.
V'yamarti lo, and I responded, Misyorei ha'yisi, shema yafsiku bi ovrei drachim. V'yomar li, ha'ilcha lispal tfila k'tzara. V'yosa shah, lamadti meni shlosha dvarim. Lamadti she'en nechnasim l'chur, v'lamadti she'mispal in baderech, lamadti she'mispal baderech, mispal el tfila k'tzara. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, tfila k'tzara, havinenu. And he refers to the Sugyan Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, L'chora, and then he's going to come back to Rashi later on, L'chora mashma di ein ze havinenu. Tokaboy l'kamon daf lamid mai iko ben havinenu l'tfila k'tzara. It seems that havinenu and tfila k'tzara are two different entities here. So Rashi is identifying Tefila Ktzaras Havinenu, they're two separate things. In Kein Lepirish HaKudshus, in Pirish Bekan, Dehainu Havinenu, that Tefila Ktzara means Havinenu. That's very difficult. Tefila Ktzara is not Havinenu. It's two separate things, and we'll see the difference in a minute. El Al Karcha Chainu Tefila Achrina Kin Mefarish Lekaman Tzarche Amcha Merubin. Then it says over here that he should have davened the Tefila Ktzara. That's the Tzarche Amcha. That's not Havinenu. So the two different concepts, which we'll see in the Gemara in a minute, there's something called Tefila Ktzara, which is Tzarche Amcha, and there's something called Havinenu, which is a whole different entity. And therefore, if for Rashi to identify Tefila Ktzara here in Asugya as Havinenu, that's a mistake. But Tosfos says that if we identify Tefila Ktzara here in our sugya as Tzarchei Amcha Merubin, that's also a mistake. That can't be correct either. Maybe there's a third possibility. V'gam al zekosh adulakamen amrinon she'ein lomer Tefila shel Tzarchei Amcha ela b'makom sakana. From Yosi lo haya b'makom sakana. Makom listim. How do I know this? He was only worried about people passing by that would interfere with his concentration. He didn't respond to Leo by saying, Shemi Arguni list him. So obviously he wasn't in a Makom Sakana. And the Gemara establishes that Tzarchei Amcha is a tefillah, which is an appropriate tefillah for a Makom Sakana, but Rabbi Yossi was not in a Makom Sakana. So therefore, Tos swings back to Rashi. V'nira li kepirush hakudshus that tefillah k'tzar d'ahacha, it's a little bit of a dochak, because here the Gemara uses the term tefillah k'tzar, but it's not a reference to a classical tefillah k'tzar, which is sarche yamcha, but rather the Gemara has in mind havineinu. There are people apparently who used to, you know, they were in a rush. You know, we do all sorts of things when we're in a rush. We daven here, we daven there, we finish early. So one of the things apparently that was quite common back in the day in order to get out fast was to daven at Tfilas Havinenu. Abaye was not happy with that. So Tosfos says, Hainu dafka be'ir. You know, you see, he has the possibility of taking his time. And there's no reason why he should rush and bridge the Shmoneh Esrei. He should daven the whole complete Shmoneh Esrei. Al-Besada, but if he's out in the fields and there's an important, you know, there's an important push or motivation to shorten his tefillah, in that case, he's allowed, even according to Abaye, to daven a tefillah k'tzara. Because when you're out in the field, there are all sorts of pressures and all sorts of interruptions. As the Gemara says here, in the case of Rabbi Yossi, that he was outside a churva, and he was worried that if we would daven outside the churva, he would be interrupted by Ovrei Drachim. So that's a similar, parallel case would be the sada, that if you're out in the field, then even Abaye would agree that you can advocate in favor of Havinenu. But again, the only case in which, the only circumstances in which you would daven tzarchei amcha, what's classically called the tefillah k'tzara, that's not terminology here, but classically, that's only in the case of makom sakana. It seems from the Gemara that Eliyahu HaNavi did not object to Rabbi Yossi going into the churva in order to enhance his tefillah and his kavan and guarantee that no one would interrupt. That per se would be okay, but the problem is that we don't go into a churva for various reasons. So if not for the problem that it was a churva, the motivation of Rabbi Yossi to get himself out of the Rishus HaRabim where Ovrei Drachim would be mafsik, that per se would be acceptable. But in this case, if you have two options, Eliyahu HaNavi teaches him, you have the option of davening outside, and in that case, you would be interrupted by Ovrei Drachim, or going inside and you would violate the Iser of going into a churva. Better to stay out of the churva and not violate the Iser of going into a churva, even if it means that you are, you know, justifiably worried about the hafsak and the interruption of Ovrei Drachim, but there's so to speak a kosev ashlishi. There's another opportunity. We can sort of have a cake and eat it. We can daven in a way that we don't have to violate the iser of going into the churva. We can minimize the damage of Ovrei Drachim. And what's that kosev ashlishi? What's that possibility? Sure. That's again, I'm afraid to use the word tefillah k'tzara, but tefillah k'tzara in this context means havineinu. So again, although we don't advocate in favor of havineinu on a regular basis, let's not get addicted to havineinu, but when it's necessary, we can recommend havineinu. Okay. Now let's take a look. We'll finish up the toast in just a minute, but first let's take a look on daf Lamed Omed Aleph. Okay then? Does anybody have a Gemara that I could borrow? My Gemara. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe at the beginning it does go to daf Lamed. No.
I do this.
Yeah, I have this Masifta Gemara. It's kind of a jib in that sense. I mean, it's a great Gemara. Oh, look at this. Mitch, what's going on? I'm impressed, okay. Violin and Kodesh here. So the Gemara says, my Ika, it's about, I would say, about 12 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Ika. My Ika bein havineinu l'tfila k'tzara. This was the proof that Tosfos adduced, that tfila k'tzara and havineinu are two separate entities. So the Gemara says, Havinenu boil itzluye gimel kamaisa v'gimel basrei. So there's no abridging the first three brachos, which are called Shevach, and the last three brachos, which are called Hodoya. What you can abridge are the 13 brachos emtsoyus, what we call bakoshos, And that is abridged and collapsed into one long bracha. And that long bracha reflects the essence of each of the bakashos in the middle section of Shmone Esrei. So they're all there, but they complete themselves with one chasima. So basically you have a Shmone Esrei, it's made up of how many brachas?
Seven.
That's not the first time in that we've encountered a Shmone Esrei with seven brachas. And the Gemara answers that it's even more impressive, meaning the power of Havinenu is even more significant. It's even more far-reaching. Because Kimatul Abese, in the case of Havinenu, when he gets home, Lo Boilem Ehedu Litzluye B'Tfila Ktsara. I'm sorry. Lo Boilem Ehedu Litzluye. He doesn't have to repeat his Shmon Esrei. Basically, what's the Gemara saying over here? He was Yotze, his Chiv of Tfila. That's as far as Havinenu is concerned. In contrast, B'Tfila Ktsara, Lo Boil Litzluye. It comes out that according to the Gemara, in the case of Tefillah Ktsara, basically what you have is one bakasha, and that bakasha completely circumvents the Gimel Rishonos, the Gimel Achronos, but the Gemara says you're going to have to pay the price. Because if you're davening a tefillah ktsara, which again is a meaningful tefillah, I mean, the Gemara is not rejecting tefillah ktsara, but you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of tefillah, and therefore when you get home, and you're out of the state of what? Sakana, then you have to repeat, you have to daven Shmone Esrei.
The entire Shmone Esrei.
No abridging. But let me give this back to you, Mitch. So let's just try to summarize the Gemara in conceptual terms. How do we classify, how do we define Tefillah Havinenu on the one hand and Tefillah Ktsara on the other hand? Can anybody just, you know, in the Lamdash Shprach, you know, what language could we use to explain? Evan, can you help me with this? What, how would you define Havinenu? The fact that you...
It's a distillate of the middle brachas of all the brachas.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're just repeating what we know, Adam, Al, but I mean to say, just to conceptually, what is Havinenu? It's a cheftishal tefillah. I want you to say it in the language that I like. It's a cheftishal Shmon Esrei. And what makes it into a cheftishal Shmon Esrei? Number one, the Gimel Rishonos. Number two, the Gimel Achronos. And number two, the Bracha Hamtzayis, which is a summary of all the Bakashas of Shmon Esrei. So we have a new Hefta of Shmon Esrei, and that's called Havinenu. My nafkemina, what do I gain by calling it a Hefta of Shmon Esrei? Exactly, that I was Yotze, my Chiyuv, Tefillah, and there's no need to repeat.
Is that for both Shachris?
Yeah, for all three tefillos. Right. Whenever the situation arises, you're stuck in a place where you're afraid that people disturb you, you won't be able to have full concentration, you're out in the sada.
You're on a plane.
Maybe out in a plane, yeah. Unless you can find yourself a place where the stewardess will allow you to daven and there's no overdrachim in a plane, that's pretty difficult. Okay, we're not paski halacha lemaisa. Some people dafka on a plane, they have more kavanah than they do on the ground. You know, you're in a plane, and especially if there's turbulence, you know, you got a lot of kavanah there, you just want to say. But yeah, so what do we have in the case of, let me just summarize what we have so far. We have Havinenu. Havinenu is a chefter Shmon Esrei. Therefore, you don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei. You will makayim Yehovah's tefillah. Now we're ready for tefillah ketzara.
But Mustama, we're talking about a case where, or maybe not, but we're talking about a case where he assumed he would not have time to daven the regular Shmon Esrei later.
I'm not sure, again, it's a matter of what he's going to do later. If he has time to do it later, you know, Yechiel's raising the possibility that maybe we should forfeit, you know, the kiyum of Zrizim Akdimim,
saying he has to repeat it. The stomach has time to repeat it. It's not like minute before Shkia is Mechatah.
The Gemara is saying that what again?
By this one you don't. But
right.
The fact is, even discussing it means that you could have done it again, but we're not making you do it again. We're starting this time. We're not doing it.
You're asking, like, what was the Hava meaning, you're saying? I'll tell you what the Hava meaning. The Hava meaning was that Tfilas Havinenu is not a Cheftashel Tfilah. And the reason for that is because every Bakasha requires its own unique bracha.
No, but I'm asking, what What forced this person to choose to say Avinu?
One of two possibilities.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning, you have 3 hours left of the Sos Man Tefillah, no reason to say Avinu.
He's on the road, Yechiel. He's on the road.
Because he doesn't expect to get somewhere to daven a full tefillah.
He's not sure if he'll get to daven a full tefillah, and there's a pressure on him now to daven before Achetavar Zaman Tefillah, and therefore he davens a tefillah of Havine. Now, the easy part here is to tell me what tefillah Ketzara is not.
It's not a
Chavtza Shalom. Exactly, it's not a Chavtza. And how do I know that tefillah Ketzara is not a Chavtza Tefillah? Because you have to repeat it. In other words, he's not being Mekayim is Chiyuv Tefillah. What it is, that's a little bit more to define. I know what it's not. I don't know exactly what it is. But we'll call it a Tchina or a Bakosh. It's just simply a Tchina Bakosh. So we have two categories. We have Shmon Esrei, an Amida, a Cheftishol Tefillah. And we have something called a Tchina and a Bakosha. I'm not being Mezalzel in a Tefillah and Bakosha. Tchina Bakosha has a status in Halacha. It's a Chal Hashem Tchina. But it's not Tefillah. It's not a Cheftish Shmon Esrei. And the Nafkamina is going to be what? That he has to repeat Shmon Esrei. Again, I don't like to use the word repeat here because it implies that he already said a Shmon Esrei. He hasn't even recited a Shmon Esrei. But He doesn't daven. He will have to daven a Shmon Esrei. And why will he have to daven a Shmon Esrei? Because Tefillah Ketzara is a separate halacha of what? Of Tchina B'Shas Sakon. In Shas Sakona, what they did was they alleviated him of his responsibility of Tefillah for the time being. Again, he comes under the category of Anus. You know, he still has a chiyuv, but it's sort of lurking in the shadows. And right now, the only obligation that they, in the present status of sakana, the only obligation they can impose upon him is tchina ubakasha. And that's called tzarche amcha merub. However, even though he's anus, as far as implementing the chiyuv tefillah, he cannot implement a shmon esri at this point because he's in a shas sakana. Will he exempt himself from the chiyuv tefillah with regard to this entire zman? In other words, does this fact that at this particular moment, let's say the zman tefillah stretches for 3 hours, at this particular moment he's in a shas sakana, does that mean as far as the whole entity of 3 hours, that whole chativat zman as we call it, we alleviate him from the chiyuv tefillah? No, that's not so. He still has a chiyuv tefillah. To the extent in which he cannot fulfill the chiyuv tefillah, then we had a different obligation imposed upon him to substitute for the chiyuv tefillah. What is that obligation? A chiyuv of tchina. And he's yotze with the tchina. And that is a chiyuv of tchina, but it's not a chiyuv of tefillah. And therefore, although on a temporary basis we have postponed the possibility of his fulfilling his chiyuv tefillah, when and if that opportunity arises, now the chiyuv tefillah, that was inherent or lurking in the shadows, now steps out front stage and imposes upon him a chiyuv of shmones.
I don't say a havmina, I really don't, because we're talking about clearly.
When you say a havmina, I'm not sure what you mean by a havmina. Havmina of what?
To say that we might remove from him his obligation for tefillah and substitute this for the... It can't be, because the Gemara is clearly filled with a case where a person has time to daven this whatever his tefillah is. Whether it's mincha, shachar, sevach. He has time, because he has to repeat it. It's not the last minute before the Sos Man Tefillah. So it's like saying to someone...
So again, I'm not sure what bothers you. Does anybody know what bothers him?
Would you say that the first minute of the day, that you have a situation of honest, whatever it is, I'm not going to imagine, so that you couldn't say Kriya Shema? Could I possibly imagine that you're putter from Kriya Shema today? Of course not. I have 2.5 hours more. Later on, I'll have my chiyuv again. Where is the possibility to say
it? So you want to know whether...
putter from Mincha. Where is the possibility to say it? He has time.
So I don't know that there is such a half-minute that he's putter from tefillah. I was just...
What are we talking about? This is a separate takana. You're in a Mokum Tsar, you're a sakana. Say tefillah. Nothing to do with Mincha. What are we even thinking about that maybe this is going to substitute? Why aren't you even discussing it together with Havineu? Havineu is a mamish substitute for tefillah. This is nothing. This is like saying tefillah is a derech. It has nothing to do with your chiyuv of tefillah. What's it even doing here?
I'm not sure. Again, let me just tell you what I thought your question was, and obviously that's not your question, but if your question is the following, which it's not. What was the hava mina that he should be potter from tefillah? I think the answer to that question is that once he enters into this makom sakana, at this point we have a tchina that substitutes for tefillah. You don't need a cheftzah shel tefillah, you have a tchina, and that tchina is his fulfillment of the mitzvah of tefillah.
That was my question, and I don't agree, because I think I would agree with that premise if it's mamish the last minute of this matfilah.
So then you have two options, Yechiel. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, you have two options. Either you have to give a better pshat in the sugya, which I'm willing to hear, or you have to say that there was no half amina otherwise. That what the Gemara is saying is that at this particular moment, you know, you're not within the framework of tefillah. You know, that's going to come later on. It may come later on, it may not, we don't know, we can't predict it. But be that as it may, right now, the best you can do under these circumstances is a tchina, and that's what you have to do.
Because
he doesn't know if he's going to have time. It's not clear at this particular moment. He's in a makom sakana. I would even go a step further. Maybe Yechiel, this is what you're driving at. That it could be that once we define Tzarchei Amcha as a tchina, and it has a chiyuv to it, then Makom Sakon itself engenders the chiyuv of that tchina. Maybe that's what you want to say. Meaning, what we're saying is not only are there two heftas within the greater constellation of tefillah, but not only that, there are two chiyuvim. There's one chiyuv which engenders tefillah, there's another chiyuv which engenders Bakosha or Tchina. The first Machayev is the Zman. The Zman itself is Machayev Tfilah. The second Machayev is Sakana. The Sakana itself is Machayev. The question is, once you have a Machayev of Sakana, could it possibly be that that would, once it's fulfilled, namely you recited Tzarchei Amcha, you could now substitute and achieve a Ptur, so to speak, from the mitzvah of Tfilah? Again, if you're willing to accept that as a havamina, I think that would answer your question.
I can't accept that. I don't get that at all.
Because again, it could be that once there's a machayev of sakana, and that machayev of sakana within the framework of tefillah engenders a tzarchei amcha merubin, you're asking Hashem to save you, that itself is your kiyum tefillah.
There is no makom sakana.
In other words, what I'm saying is the Rabbanon recognized this tchina. It's not that Tzarchei Amcha Merubin is some sort of, you know, encouragement, some sort of amorphous emotional response to a situation that's life-threatening. It's more than that. The Chachamim made a takana with a special nusach hatfil, is a matbea here, of Tzarchei Amcha. And one could have ostensibly argued that if sakana is mechayev you to recite that chino now, insofar as it's recognized by the Chachamim as a kiyum tefillah, it's not a tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei, but it's a tefillah within the broader context, then maybe now you're alleviated of your chiyuv tefillah. But again, Yechiel, if you have a better approach, I'm willing to hear it. I'm satisfied with this, but you know, if you think you can go better, this is not the Israeli elections here. You know, I'm not running for office.
I have trouble with the logic that says that at any time during your chiyuv period, let's say Kriyat Shema three shows, tefillah four shows, any time during that you're an honest, then substitute might potter you from the whole chiyuv that morning. But why? I still have the whole morning left. Let's find out what happens. Maybe I'll have time. If I don't have time, then I might slim off prayer. Maybe I'll
no, but it. Even well, if you do have time, but you, even if you do have time,
will you tzuri? Then what's the Gemara saying? Going to repeat when you get home.
You might think about
it. But that's a chiddush of the Gemara that you have to recite Shmoneh Esrei. I would have thought that I was yotze already my chiyuv tefillah. There is such an entity as Tzarchei Amcha, and once I fulfill my obligation of Tzarchei Amcha, that's my response. You know, the Ramban Shita is against the Rambam that tefillah is only Durabonim. And the Ramban says that there is one situation which tefillah is Doraisa. What's that called? An Eis Tzara. So Adarabba, I would say that in a certain sense, Tzarchei Amcha is a Shpitz, you know, it's the epitome of a Kiyum tefillah, because according to the Ramban, that is what the Torah prescribes within the context of tefillah. That if a person finds himself in an Eis Tzara, he has to respond by crying out to Hashem. And that's what Tzarchei Amcha is. So the question is, when I fulfill my obligation that's engendered by Sakana, by Tzara, by an Eis Tzara, by fulfilling my obligation and reciting this Tchina, am I still Chayiv in the old Mitzvah Tefillah? And the answer is yes. The Rabbanan established two Mechayivim, two obligations. One is called Tchina b'makom sakana, and the other is what? Is tefillah. Now, one last question I want to ask you, and then I want to go on, because I want to speak to you today a little bit about Kaddish, if it's okay with you. And that is the following. What happens if a person is in a makom she'eino sakana, and... I'm sorry, just the opposite. What happens, I wanted to ask you the following. If a person finds himself in a makom sakana, and he wants to recite Tfilas Havinenu, it's because if you take a look at this Tosis that we just studied, Tosis is saying that if Elio Hanavi was advocating that Rabbi Yossi should daven Tfilas Havinenu, Zoktosis, wait a minute, that can't be the same as a tefillah ktsara. Why? Because, says Tosis, he wasn't in a makom sakana. If he wasn't in a makom sakana, then tefillah ktsara is totally irrelevant, meaning the machayev and the kiyum of tefillah ktsara, that tchina, is completely undermined by the fact that he's not in sakana, so it's irrelevant to talk about tchina ktsara. But the flip side is also true, that if he wasn't in a makom sakana, if he wasn't in a makom sakana, then he should daven what? A tefillas havinenu. Correct? So my question to you is the following. Could a person daven tefillas havinenu in a makom sakana? What would be your intuition? Just give me your knee-jerk response without thinking. You know, I'm asking you to be robots, right? I would have said yes. I mean, if I could daven a tefillah ktsara, how much more so, kolshkein, I should be able to daven a tefillas havinenu, because havinenu is even more extensive than a tefillah ktsar, right? So I'm even being more religious. But why is that wrong? Exactly, because the halach of havinenu is that it has the status of a cheft shel tefillah, and in a makom sakana, not only are you exempt from tefillah, you're prohibited from tefillah, and that isur tefillah extends to incorporate havinenu. So we now have basically three nafkaminas between Havinenu and Tefillah Ktsara. Nafkamina number one is that Havinenu requires the Gimel Rishonos, the Gimel Achronos. That's number one. Number two, Havinenu, insofar as it's a Chefta Shel Tefillah, replaces and fulfills your obligation of Tefillah. And number three, Havinenu, insofar as it's a Chefta Shel Tefillah, is prohibited by Makom Sakana. And therefore, we can prove that Rabbi Yossi was not in a makom sakana from the very fact that Elio advocated that he daven what? According to Tosis, according to Rashi and Tosis, Tosis of Askar, Havinenu. That itself proves that he wasn't in a makom sakana. So Tosis proves that he wasn't in a makom sakana from the fact that his response to Elio Navi was simply that he's afraid of Ovrei Drachim. He should have said, I'm afraid of Listen, they're going to come and kill me. But we can go even a step further. Now that we've defined, we've upgraded Tfilas Havinenu as a Cheftah Shel Tfilah, then we can say that for sure Rabbi Yossi was not in a makom sakana, absolutely for sure, because if he were in a makom sakana, then Chas v'Shalom Elio should advocate that he should daven a tefillas. No, again, what I'm saying the following, again, I don't know what you mean by tefillah ktsar, Yehuda. Are you referring to the Havamina Tosis? Because I'm already in the Maskana. Okay, so leave out tefillah ktsar for a minute. Let's just focus on Havinenu. We said that Havinenu is a Cheftah Shel Tefillah of Shmon Esrei, an Araya, that you don't have to daven a second Shmon Esrei to repeat the first Shmon Esrei. You already fulfilled your Chiyuv of Shmon Esrei. So now we're going a step further. If Elio HaNavi advocated that Rabbi Yossi should have stayed outside the Churva, and she should have prayed a Tefillah Havinenu, not a Tefillah Ktsara, right? And Tosis wonders, was he in a Makom Sakana, was he not? And Tosis proves that he wasn't in a Makom Sakana from the formulation and the response to Elio. We can now go a step further and say, Al Pi Lomnus, for sure he wasn't in a Makom Sakana. Because if he were in a Makom Sakana, Elio Hanavi could not have possibly advocated that he daven what? A Tfilas Havinenu, because a Tfilas Havinenu is a Tfilah with all the trimmings of a Cheftah Shel Tfilah. And such a Tfilah, not only are you exempt from such a Tfilah, Makom Sakana, but you are forbidden, you're prohibited from davening such a Tfilah, the Makom Sakana. Okay, Rabbi, let's talk a little bit about Kaddish. We have here on the on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph a very interesting tosis. The Gemara says, this is about five lines up from the end of the daf. Lozu bilvad el bishoshi Yisrael nichnasim lebate knesios lebate midrashis v'onim yehei shmei hagadol mevorach. There are a lot of different gersos here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nanea rosho v'yomer asher yabel shemakalsin oso bebeiso. So this is, at the face of it, this is an agadata, and we had a long discussion about this in our agadata shirim, and if you're interested, you could actually hear the tape. The very fascinating aspects, but I want to focus on the halachic part of this sugya. Tosis says, Mikan yesh listar, mashapirish b'machzor vitri, the machzor vitri slices this yeshmei rab into two parts. Shezut fil shonim ispalim, sheyimale shmo, kirichsiv, ki yad al kes ka. Shelo yehesh mo sholem v'kiso sholem ad sheyimcha zaro shel amolek. Okay. Do you have a small hay over here? No, you don't have that? Just wondering what it is. There's so many different... He tells us here that this is a tanchuma. You don't have that. No? There's no... note on the side of your Gemara? Yeah, I know, Goldman. All right, okay. Prehistoric. Okay. There have been so many shasim since then. I had a shas Goldman. I gave it away, Pashut, as a gift. Yeah, I couldn't get used to it. Once you get used to the upgraded Gemaras. Steinzel's a different halacha. That's in a different category. We don't want to mess around with that. All right. So basically, according to the Machzor Vitri, the words Yehei Shmei Rabba constitute a bakasha in which we express our aspiration, our desire for the kium of Shmei Rabba, that his Shmo, the shame of Hashem, should be Sholem. Instead of being Yud K, which is only a half, it should be Yud K Vav K, and that's going to require the destruction of Amalek. Uperusho kach, according to the Machzor Vitri, it means Yehei Shmei, meaning shame, Yud Kei, which is what it is now, Rabba. Okay, so that's a tefillah and a bakasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should become Shonim Ispalim Shei Shmo Gadol V'Sholim. Now put a semicolon. And then it says, Umevurach Li'olam. Mevurach Li'olam is already a different concept, a different theme. Havi tefila acheres, klomar umevorach li'olam haba. Okay, we have to see what that means, but whatever it is, it takes a line and splits it in a way that is not one motif or one theme, but rather two. V'zeh lo nireh midekomar hocha yehei shmei agol umevorach. The language of the Gemara seems to imply that it's one long tefila. Masha tefila achasi, we don't split it in two. Ein erot so shei shmo gadol v'sholem, el shei shmo ha-gadol mevorach. The shame ha-gadol of Yud Kei Vav Kei should be glorified, should be blessed. Okay, so that's Hakof Aleph. Here I would press to return. And now we have another paragraph. Vigam, this Tosis is sort of like shooting down things. You know, he has pet peeve. So his first pet peeve is against the Machzor Vitri's interpretation of Yehei Shmei Rab. And now he has a pet peeve on the Olam, on what the Velt says. Gam Masha Omrim HaOlam, that why do we recite Kaddish in Aramit, in Aramaic, Lefisha Tefillah Noah, it's a very beautiful, lofty tefillah, V'shevach Gadol Hu, Al-Kein, Niskam B'loshet Tagish Lo Yavinu HaMalach, that we don't want the angels in heaven to understand this tefillah, V'yu Miskanim Banu. This is a very profound concept that somehow the Malachim will be jealous of. If we have time, we'll speak about that in our...
Aramaic?
No, they don't speak Aramaic, correct. V'zeh eino nireh. Sharei kama tefilos yafal shehem beloshen ivri. He says there are many tefilos that are so beautiful and lofty that could incur the jealousy of the malachim, and yet we don't shy away from reciting them in loshen kodesh, even though they'll be understood by the malach. And Tosus goes on to say that this Yeheshme Rabbah is so significant that it's not that we're worried about incurring the jealousy of the Malachim, but we're worried about the Amei HaRotzos. Because if they don't understand, Lashon Kodesh, they understand the vernacular, so it's preferable to recite it in Aramis, Lashon Targum, because that's what they understood. You know, I'm reminded here of the Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that Ezra, when he came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he established Takana that Kriyas HaTorah should have what? Targum. Because the people didn't understand Lashon Kodesh. You know, today it's a joke. Like, who understands Aramaic better than they understand Hebrew? My sons have a joke when they get together and they want to play shtick, so they talk to each other in Aramaic, you know. It's a ride, because none of them know Aramaic, but they fake it out, you know. Every other word is Yiddish or Hebrew. But so it seems like at that time there was a fear that the average person would be excluded from understanding the deeper meaning, in this case, Yeshme Rabbah, which is a powerful tefillah. So let's read it inside. Nirakid Amrina Besof Sota. Now this Gemara in Sof, at the end of Sota, is going to be very important for us, because I think this Gemara is going to shed a light on the nature, the essence of Kaddish. It says there, Eina Ola Miskayim El Asidra Dikdushasa Dikdushasa Vayeheshme Rabba Dibosar Agarit. Now I'd like you to underline, I don't mean literally, but at least mentally, underline those two words, the Basar Agarita. Sharigilim Lomar Kaddish Achar Hadrosha. Tosis says that they used to recite Kaddish after the Drosha. But Tosis goes a step further, and he identifies the Drosha, he classifies it as what? As Agarita. Because we're going to open up Rashi in Sota in just a minute, and we're going to see that Rashi in Sota does not identify a drasha as agadita. Rashi rather prefers to identify a drasha as what we call a drasha dekra, meaning when you have a pasuk and you derive something from a pasuk, that's called a drasha. It doesn't say in Rashi anything about Agadita, but if you're very careful about reading this Tosfos says that the Kaddish, what we call Kaddish Derabbanan, is recited after Agadita. And then he goes on to say that Sham, at this public teaching of Torah, this Drasha, Hayu Amei Aratzos, there were ignorant people over here. Vivinim klum b'loshon kodesh. They understood the spoken language. L'kach tiknu b'loshon targum. So let's put this Tosfos on the side. And again, there are many different dimensions to this Tosfos that we can emphasize. We right now are focusing on one particular dimension, and that is that Tosfos' shita is that the Kaddish derabbanan after Limud Torah is a Kaddish that's recited after Agadita. The study of Agadita. However, Rashi in Masechta Sota, in the very sugi that Tosfos refers to, Adaf Mem Tes, says the following: Yeheshme Rabba Mevarach Shaonim Achar Agada Shahadarshan Doresh Berabim Bechol Shabbos Hayunogim Kach Veshamay Nikbatzim Kol Ha'am Lishmoa Lefisha Eino Yom Melacha VeYeshkan Torah. The Kiddush Hashem. So Rashi says that there was a drasha of the Chachamim, and the Chacham in that particular place, wherever it was on the face of the earth, would present a drasha. And as a result of this drasha, there was a great Kiddush Hashem, because people would gather together, Barabim, in public, on a day that they were excluded from Malacha. And after that drasha, there was a recitation of Kaddish. What Rashi omits here, I think, is the word agarita. Rashi saying that there was a drasha. And when I saw this Rashi, I thought of two things that we do that might reflect the sheet of Rashi. Number one, we recite a Kaddish Drabbanon following Pitum Aktores. I have in front of me a sitter. And who remembers, if I can test your memory, what happens right before the Kaddish Drabbanon? What paragraph do we inject before the Kaddish Drabbanon after the Pitum Aktores? Pitum Aktores is a Brisa Masechta Krisus. The answer is we need a drosha. According to Rashi, so that's the drasha. Amar Blazim, Rab Chanina, Talmidei Chachom, Mar Mishal Bolam, Shemar Vechol Banayich Limudei Hashem, VeRav Sholom Banayich Al Tikri Banayich Ela Bonayich. And it could be that the reason for this minog is because of this Rashi, that in order to recite, to justify the recitation of a Kaddish, the Rabbanon, we need a drasha. So we have to take a pasuk and we have to darshan it, and that's what we have from Rabbi Chanina. If you take a look at the end of Masechta Uktzin, which is the last Masechta say there, Taros, there's a drasha here. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shlosh Me'el V'Asar Olomo Shen Nemar Lahanchil O'av Ayesh V'Otzoseyem Amale. So it means that there's a drasha of the pasuk. Some have a gear, some are abshim bar tafl after. Lo matai kodesh baruchu. Kli matzik bracha li Yisrael. El ha-shalom shenemar. Hashem oz liyamo yitin. Hashem yivarach ha-samo. Vashalom. He's darshaning a pasuk. So at this moment, again, I could say hadron alecha, say the taras. Yimitz Hashem. At some point in my life. I don't know when. But whatever it is, we could say a kaddish d'rabbanan according to Rashi. Even though there's not a drasha in Agadah, but there's a drasha of Mikra. But I wanted to point out to you that the Rambam, in his introduction to Kaddish, has a slightly different formulation. Okay? So this is in the Rambam. It's always fascinating to learn the Seder at Tfilos of the Rambam. It's very short, you should know. He only has, you know, the Rambam Siddur was about 5 pages long. No, he wasn't part of that movement. He was Orthodox. No, it said... What? No, it's just joking.
The Temanim follow him. They don't do Hazar.
Okay. No. You know, the Temanim claim that he follows them. You know, it depends on your Ashkaf, as Yechiel taught me. Okay. So the Rambam has an introduction here to Kaddish Drabbanon, and he says the following. Kol Asurim Yisrael, O Yeser, Shayu Oskim B'Talmud Torah Sheval Peh, Afilu b'midrashos o ba'agados, k'she'misayimim omrim echad, omer echad kaddish b'nusach zeh. And now he has the whole nusach, yizkadol v'yizkadosh me'rabah, di'osid l'chadeto, almo, li'acham yiso, l'vifrak chayo, l'vnevikat yusholayim, l'shtok l'heichok, etc., etc. But it's interesting. In the Rambam, if you read it carefully, the Rambam says, afilu b'midrashos o ba'agados. But basically, what kind of limud, what kind of Talmud Torah, according to the Rambam, engenders Kaddish Drabbanon? Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh. Which, by the way, if we were to follow the mandate of the Rambam, then at the end of every Shia, we should say Kaddish Drabbanon, because it's Torah Shebal Peh. So if you take a look on the Mara Makomo sheet that I handed out, I asked you to take a look at the riff in Masechta Megillah. So the truth is that the riff in Masechta Megillah is just 2 lines. I mean, you don't need the whole... But I couldn't find a Gemara Megillah, so thanks to Rabbi Poston for photocopying it. He says in the name of Rabbi Nachanai Goin, this is a very strange phenomenon. It seems that back in the day, the minhag was that it was absolutely critical. I mean, we have the minhag today, but you'll see how significant it was back in the day to recite a Kaddish at the end of Kriyas HaTorah, but not exactly at the end of the Kriyas HaTorah. After what? After Shvi, but before Maftir. And the question is, what happens if they recited the Kaddish after Shishi and now they want to be Ola, a person from Maftir? Is he considered Shvi or is he not considered Shvi because they formed a wedge here by reciting Kaddish? He says the following. Ashkechan mirav nitchernoi go, and the Omer Mishmei de Rabbonin Savroi, the Hecha de Karu Shisa, they called up six people to the Torah, the Afsiku Bekadish, the Hadar Aftiru, and then they were going to call up someone from Maftir, Eino Ola. He cannot be considered part of the Shiva Kruim. In other words, they did not fulfill that minog of Shiva Kruim, and that minog is very well established, entrenched in the Gemara Masech de Megillah. If they postponed, they delayed reciting that Kaddish until after the Haftorah, is then, I'm sorry, until after Shvi, but before the Haftorah, is then Ol Minyan Sheva? He says, V'taymer Rabba U'mistaberhu. So Rabbosai, what's going to determine whether this Oleh is what we call Maftir, or whether he is the seventh Aliyah to be Mashal the Zayin Kruim? Kaddish. So I asked myself the following question in the light of this riff. I'm going to ask this a very strange way. What is the function of Kaddish? Meaning, obviously Kaddish is to glorify the name of Hashem, but what role does Kaddish play? How do I define Kaddish from the perspective of Rav Nitzchernoi Goin? In one word, it's a mafsik. Interesting. And I would suggest the following, that there are various categories of Kaddish. One category of Kaddish is what we call Kaddish HaMafsik. We say a half a Kaddish in order to be mafsik. For example, at the end of Psukim de Zimra, we want to indicate that we finished. We say Yishtabach and we close with the Bracha, and now we recite Kaddish, the Kaddish HaMafsik. And, for example, after Hashkivenu, let's say on Tfilas Arvis, or in Chutzarts, they say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, whatever it is, right before we start Shmona Esrei, we have completed Birchas Kriyat Shema, and what do we wedge in the middle? A Kaddish. What's the purpose of the Kaddish? Kaddish HaMafsik. That's one Kaddish. And then we have another Kaddish, which comes at the very end. Correct, the Kaddish Tiskavel, what we call Kaddish Sholem. And Adarav, a Kaddish Sholem doesn't mean that we finished one section of that Tefillah, we finished Tefillah itself. And to clinch the end of Tefillah, we recite a Kaddish Sholem, which is a Kaddish Tiskavel. Then we have a Kaddish Derabban. Forget about Kaddish Yosam for a minute. What that is, we have to figure it out. That's a Kiyum of Avelus. But what is Kaddish Derabbanon? So basically, we have three Shitos. We have Shitas HaTosfos, Shitas Rashi, and Shitas HaRama. Shitas Tosfos here on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in Masechet Brachos is that Kaddish completes Talmud Torah of Agadita. Shitas Rashi in Masechet Sota is the Kaddish Derabbanon completes the study of Jerusha. And Shitas HaRambam is that Kaddish Derabbanon is at the completion of the study of what Talmud Torah? Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh b'chlal. Whatever's included in Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, in your Maror Makomos page, I asked you to look at Tosfos and Megillah on Daf Chav Gimel. It's a long Tosfos. Again, we only need a few lines. He writes the following. Achar shenisdar hashas v'tiknu lo mer kaddish bein osam shekaru rishona ve'amaftir. So they made a takana of what we call the kaddish hamafsik, that after the Zayin Kruim we should recite a chatzi kaddish to separate between the ikar mitzvah of kriyas haTorah and the maftir. And he compares it to the kaddish after Baruch Hashem liolam amen v'amen, which means that we separate between Birchas Kriyat Shema and Shmon Esrei. What are these Kadeshim all about? Says Tosfos, V'heim Tiknu, why did they establish these Kadeshim? Lohudia it's kind of like a public statement, Shetfilas Arvis Rishus, that until now we were obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema uBirchoseha. Now we're making a shift, a transition, over to Tfilas Arvis Rishus. V'hachi nami tiknu lomar kaddish, bein hashiva la'amaftir, kidei lo'odia she'ein memanin eino miminyan hashiva. That the maftir is not included as part of the Ikar mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, which requires that we call up seven aliyos. Good? So we have now three shitos and three different categories of Kaddish. We spoke about Kaddish HaMafsik, we spoke about Kaddish HaMesayim at the Gemar Tefillah, and we spoke about Kaddish Dirabbanan. The question I want to raise with you is the Shitas HaRamba. And let's go slowly. The Rambam says that Kaddish Dirabbanan is recited on the study of Torah Shebal Peh. I don't have a kasha why the Rambam doesn't limit it to Agados or Droshos. Why should it be limited? Adarab, I have a kasha on Tosus, I have a kasha on Rashi. But what is the Rambam really excluding? When do we not recite a Kaddish Dirabbanan? After the study of what? Torah Shebichsav. The flip side of Torah Shebal Peh is Torah Shebichsav. What that means, according to the Rambam, is that any Kaddish that's recited after Kriyas HaTorah is not a Kaddish Dirabbanan, but rather what? It's a Kaddish HaMafsik. But why? Why is it? This is what bothers my mind. You have no problem with it? Okay. I'll ask you to answer the question. But first let me just formulate the question. Why is it that Torah Shebal Peh is superior, so to speak, to Torah Shebal Bichsav? The Mitzvah Talmud Torah, as formulated by the Rambam, incorporates both Torah Shebal Bichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Why is it that a Kaddish Rabbanan was only instituted after Torah Shebal Peh, not after Torah Shebal Chsav? You'll ask me, but Rabbi Bursa, there is a Kaddish after Torah Shebal Chsav. That Kaddish is a Kaddish HaMafsik. That's not a Kaddish Rabbanan. What do you say, Yehuda?
I thought.
I can't read your thoughts, you know. Yeah. What did you think?
Hundreds of years. There's a battle going on the Mahmud, on the position.
Ah! Oh, so you're talking about the Tztukim, or Afukim?
Well, you could throw that in if you want, it's stupid.
But you know, Yehuda, I'm too much of a lamda to accept a historical explanation. Yeah, you know?
This is
after we finish the shir, you know, then we'll study history. And maybe you're right, I don't know. This was a disclaimer against those who deny Torah Shebal Peh. But I want to ask something else. What's significant about Torah Shebal Peh that requires that special kaddish? Because if you read the Kaddish is more than just a study of Torah. The Kaddish is more, it goes beyond the Shevach Vodoya for Torah. The Kaddish itself reflects what I would call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim.
Not Kaddish to Rabbanan. That's the point. The name Rabbanan itself is the reason why Torah Shebal Peh is. It's a Kaddish for the Chachamim. Right. Oh. Rabbanan.
And what are the Chachamim in charge of? That's what I want to know. I want to tie it to Kabbalah, Ol Malchus Shemayim as well.
The whole Hafkadah is in their hands.
Hafkadah of what? Okay. I need a word.
The Masorah.
Exactly. That's what my Rebbe used to always say. Rav Soloveitchik repeated this, I don't know how many times, that the fundamental difference between Torah Shebal Chsav and Torah Shebal Peh is Masorah HaTorah. Rebbe to Talmud, Talmud to his Talmudim, throughout the generations, Ludor Dor. That din of Masorah, of Talmud, accepting the Masorah from his Rebbe, is uniquely related and singled out for Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Chsav is accessible to anyone. Once you translate, once you try to understand the deeper meanings of Torah, that requires a Masorah. And that Masorah is a twofold Masorah. On the one hand, it means receiving a corpus of knowledge from your Rebbe, but also, number two, it means receiving a methodology, an approach, so that the Talmud ultimately can stand on his own two feet, and he can break new ground in Torah. How does he do so? Does he stand up one morning, he has no Masorah whatsoever, and he decides, I'm going to interpret the Torah? There are people who want to do that. No. In order to interpret the Torah, to have license to break new ground in Torah Shebal Peh, you have to have a Mesorah. That Mesorah, says the Rambam, is experienced whenever we study Torah Shebal Peh publicly. The study of Torah Shebal Peh equals, according to the Rambam, the study of the Mesorah, the experience of transmitting the Torah from one generation to the other. And Chachamim wanted to highlight that and emphasize that by instituting a special Kaddish for that Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh. And I would go a step further, Lufi Anias Taiti, and I know Rabbi Sachlitz is not going to be happy with this, that Kaddish de Rabbanon, Yiskadol v'Yiskadish Mei Rabba, is also, no less than the other Kaddishim, a cue of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. But what does Ol Malchus Shamayim mean? Ol Malchus Shamayim means more than just Yichud Hashem, that I accept the existence of God, and that God is one, and everything that exists, exists because of God, and that I accept His mandate. It also includes the Mesorah of Torah. A person has to be committed to the Mesorah of Torah. If he's not committed to Mesorah HaTorah, then his Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is incomplete. And the recitation of Kaddish is another cue of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And I would say the following. That when we recite Kriyat Shema, which is, by its very essence, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, we recite the pasuk Vishinantam Levanecha. And you might say the Vishinantam Levanecha is just there, so to speak. It happens to be there. But if you open up the Rambam to Hilchas Kriyat Shema, you will see that the Rambam emphasizes the Vishinantam Levanecha. The Rambam says, Umahu Kore, what should he read? This is Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Sholosh Parshios V'eluhem. Shema V'ayim Shema V'ayom. Makdimu likros parsha shma. This is sugya later on. Mivneshi yesh bat sivui al yichud Hashem avaso vitalmudo. The Rambam says that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim includes three elements. Number one, yichud Hashem. Number two, avas Hashem. And number three, talmudo. Shehu ha'ikar ha'gadol shakol toluibo. All this is included in the first parsha of Kriyat Shema. Now, in the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, we'll have another dimension of Talmud Torah, and that's the personal obligation incumbent upon the father to teach his son Torah. But the obligation on the Rav to teach his Talmidim Torah is written in the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, Vishinantam Levanecha, and that's how the Rambam opens up Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Elu Talmidecha. This is the relationship between the Rebbe and Talmud in which the Rebbe is passing, he's transmitting the Torah to the next generation, the Mesorah HaTorah. That, says the Rambam, is an integral part of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. He says, "Hu ikar ha-gadol shakol tolibo." Everything, in order for a Jew to respond in an affirmative way to the call and the mandate of fulfilling Hashem's will, he must be dedicated and he must accept the Mesorah HaTorah. Without the Mesorah HaTorah, the Talmud Torah of Rebbe to Talmud, he doesn't have a blink of a chance to be Makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. And I want to show you that the Rambam, I think it's on Yomar Makomos page, derived this from a Gemara in Brachos. Do we have it? Okay, anyway, the Gemara in Brachos later on, I forget exactly what daf, I think it's daf Yud, says that the reason why the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, namely Shema Yisrael, comes before Vayim Shemoa, is because first you makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim and then you makabel Ol Mitzvah. So the concept of Ol Malchus Shamayim, which means my commitment to observe the law of Hashem and fulfill His will, entails Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, and finally Talmudo, which is written in the pasuk Vishinantam Livanech. If that be the case, Rabosai, we understand very well why the Rambam emphasizes that we should begin Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim with the first parsha of Kriyat Shema. Fine. But now we go to Rashi. And Rashi says that the takana, the minhag of Kaddish Rabbanon, is not for Torah Shebal Peh, it's not for the Mesorah HaTorah in general, but rather it's for what? For Torah sheyesh ba drosha. Talmud Torah sheyesh bo drash. And Rashi doesn't really spell it out for us as to why this is so. I mean, Rashi speaks about some element of Kiddush Hashem, but you know, intuitively one senses here that it's min b'sheino mino. Like, what's the connection between drashos and Kiddush Hashem? Again, I understand very well that we're publicly studying the Torah and we're reciting Kaddish Rabbanon, and that is Kiddush Hashem, but why is that engendered by the study of a drasha?
Is what? It's another terminology. Rambam and Rashi are saying the same thing. But they're using different terminology. A drasha is, by definition, Torah Shebal Peh.
It's part of Torah Shebal Peh, but the Rambam lists in Hilchos Talmud Torah many different parts of Torah Shebal Peh. And Rashi uses drasha, and that's what I tried to show you before, that our minhag, which I think is based on Rashi, is to recite drashos. Every single time that we complete our Talmud Torah and we're ready for a Kaddish Rabbanon, we have to darshan a drasha. But why? What's the significance of a drasha?
Magen Avraham calls that an agadah.
I didn't see the Magen Avraham. I'm not responsible for the Magen Avraham. I just want to say what I think is pshat, and then you'll tell me what the Magen Avraham says. If you take a look carefully at the drashos that Chazal single out for Kaddish Derabbanon, I think what you'll see is that Kaddish Derabbanon is limited to a type of drasha that has within it emuna ubitachon, faith in Hashem, and a belief in the ultimate redemption. When Rashi says Kiddush Hashem, the greatest Kiddush Hashem is when we recite or we study a drasha that has some sort of relationship to the ultimate redemption. Let me give you an example, Moshe Lamad Dover Doma. You know that when we recite a Haftorah, every Haftorah, maybe one exception, but every Haftorah has to complete itself with what? With Divrei Tanchumin, right? With Divrei Nechama. You know, we never end the Haftorah on a bad note, you know, when the Navi foretells doom, but when he foretells a Simcha, Nechama. Nechama, we're going to see over and over again throughout Rashi's Shita. I'm going to prove it to you from later on from a sugya of Ein Omdim L'Spal, Mitok Divrei Torah. Rashi identifies the Divrei Tanchumin. There's a special halacha within the entire context of Divrei Torah, of studying the Torah, of Divrei Tanchumin. Torah is meant to be a Nechama. And Rashi wants us to recite or learn a drasha that has some element of Nechama in it. If it has an element of Nechama in it, then we're ready for a Kaddish that reflects the Kiddush Hashem, the fact that we have declared that there will be a better day, right? The drasha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi at the end of Taris that I told you about before. Of course, I don't find it now. Oh, here it is in front of my nose. And he says the following. He says, Asid, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik. And when he says L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, he means every Tzadik throughout all the generations. Shlosh Meos V'Asora Olamos Lahanchil Olam. This is all a prediction for the future, that even though the Tzadikim now, we don't always see that they're getting their reward, you know, it's Tzadik V'Ralo, but nevertheless, we have a belief and a faith in a brighter future. That's Divrei Nechama. So again, the machlokus between the Rambam and Rashi is the following. Rambam learns that the takon of Kaddish Rabbanon is for Torah Shebal Peh, means Mesoras HaTorah. Rashi learns that the Kaddish Rabbanon was established for Divrei Tanchumin through a drasha that gives us a belief and a hope for a brighter future when the ultimate redemption will come about. And then we have Shitas HaTosfos. And Shitas HaTosfos is that the Kaddish Rabbanon was established on the limud of Agadah. I don't know if Tosfos is arguing fundamentally with Rashi, or perhaps Tosfos holds that the difference between Agadata and all of Torah is that Agadata always contains some sort of element of Yichud Hashem. In other words, Tosfos identifies Agadata with a deeper, a more profound belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know. What time is it now? Because
it's
10:02. Alright, so look, we're going to have to stop now. I just want to point out that I didn't get to the third part of the Shia today, and we still have plenty to add to the second part of the Shia. How many people in the Shia room, I'm just curious, have gotten to the Sugya on the Avdalah Amud Beis? Don't all answer at once. I mean, you started it?
Yeah.
All right. So what I want you to do here is take a look on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to try to study the sugya of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim, and especially in the light of two sources. Number one is the Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and you'll take a look 11 lines up from the bottom. Please make a note of it. And the Gemara Paskins, Omer Rav Yudah, Mer Shmuel, Halachik Rav Gamliel. And the second source I want to focus your attention on is the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. And to our surprise, despite the psak of the Gemara, that the Gemara says we Paskin like Rav Gamliel, the Rambam seems to Paskin like the Chacham. And the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam Paskins like the Chacham. That's very difficult. I mean, to go against an open Gemara, I don't understand. I don't understand how we could do this. All right, Rabosai, the last thing I wanted to tell you before we go is that this Machzor Vitri, Yehesh Meh Mevorach, Yehesh Meh Rabba, I think it also fits into our concept that Kaddish Rabban is connected to Emuna and Bitachon. And what we're basically saying is that now Amalek is having a blast, you know, but we want to destroy Amalek. And the shame of Hashem is now curtailed, it's truncated, it's only Yud-Kei. And our Yehesh Meh, according to the Machzor Vitri, is Divrei Nechama, Divrei Amuna Bitachon, that we have faith that ultimately Hashem's name will speedily in our time be complete, and it'll be Yud-Kei Vav-Kei at the time of the destruction of all evil. Kei Ratzon. Amen. Tos is not happy with that because it splits the bracha into two parts. But
remind everybody, tomorrow is the day that you're supposed to say Parshas Haman.
Erev Rosh Chodesh, Erev Parshas
B'Shalach.
You are available to now say a regular davening.
Getting that mixed up.
You were talking about being here. I'll remind you again. You know, whether you said. With me, said Avinenu, and
you already recited Avinenu.
You said Avinenu, but now when it says when you come to a place where now you're able to say
correct, no one's interrupting you and interfering. Yeah.
Okay, or the other way, Felix and also right. Felix Tsar, you have to say
you're out of Sakana, right?
Okay, what happens if when the time you are able to daven, it's past Zman Tfila? Do you have to say Tashlumin? No. You don't have to say Tashlum. So I think the crux of that may define the difference between what you're saying and what Yechiel is saying.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, if what you're saying is there is an union of Tefillah involved in this, no, what he is saying is that it actually potters you from Tefillah.
What are we talking about? Havinenu or Tefillah Ksara?
We're talking, let's say, the Tefillah Ksara.
Oh, he was of the opinion that it potters you?
That's right.
I thought he was fighting me on that.
No, I was the one who kept pushing that
there was a Havavina that Tefillah Ksara could replace and fulfill my Chiyuv of Tefillah. And the Gemara rejects it and says no, that he still has a chiyuv tefillah, and therefore.
Yeah, but what he was saying is that it depends on when you're talking about. He said if there's no more time to say anything, then it replaces it. It's only when you have time to say something more that it doesn't replace it, because then you can go back and say.
Oh, so you mean, let's say his sakana situation would extend for 3 hours or whatever it is throughout the entire period of tefillah,
then it would replace it, and you would have been mekayim the mitzvah of tefillah, as opposed to have lost the mitzvah of tefillah. Because according to you, since it doesn't really replace it at ever,
so Yechiel, he's quoting you as saying that whether or not through tefillah, sorry, you were mekayim tefillah would depend upon whether you're out of the sakana within the 3 hours. That means if you were within the sakana for entire 3 hours, then he's saying that in your name that the tefillah sorry replaces Shmon Esrei, and you don't have to daven. I don't know. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
that's pretty wild.
No, I'm not saying that.
It's not a cheftishal tefillah.
What you said, he doesn't have a chiyuv tefillah.
I said he's onus right now. I never said he doesn't have a chiyuv tefillah. I was suggesting as a hava mina that maybe you could say he has a different kind of chiyuv tefillah, the likes of which can be fulfilled through tefillah ketzara, but I never meant to say he doesn't have a chiyuv tefillah. I don't know. There could be somebody could argue that, but the very fact that within the framework of zmani tefillah, he would have to replace it, right, if the opportunity arose, he would have to replace his tefillah ketzara with a cheftishal shmon esrei. I thought that itself proves that the chiyuv tefillah is still hanging over his head, but he's quoting you as saying that if the 3 hours go by, that he's not, he wasn't chayv in tefillah. I never said that he wasn't chayv in tefillah. I never suggested.
3 hours are over.
But you're raising a very interesting question, Alan. In and of itself, your question is very valid. You know, what's the deal with someone who's in a makom sakana? Does he have to have a chiyuv? Does he have a chiyuv tashlum? You know, how do we view that?
Yeah, but I thought that.
So in general, I think.
Too, because you were saying that he's putter from the tefillah. Since he's putter from the tefillah, then there would never be a tashlumin.
No, I don't think he's ever putter from the tefillah until Zman Tefillah.
What happened at the end of Zman Tefillah?
Okay, when the whole Zman Tefillah came,
what happened
the whole time.
Then what happened?
Then
what happened? Did you just lose it?
Yeah,
or you're a putter?
That's an interesting question. Now, I don't think we discussed that. I mean, that's a valid point. You know, when we get to the Sugya Tefillah Tashlumin, please remind me that we should talk about Makom Sakana. Is there a Tefillah Tashlumin in such a case? Is there not? I mean, the Machlokas we shown about an onein, right? Whether onein after the what's called the stimus agolel,
right,
whether he's chayv in tefillah,
right?
You know, and
he's
certainly chayv in tefillah, but I mean to say whether he's chayv in tefillah tashlumin if he was an onein for that period of time, you know, it could be that one could argue that a person who's in a state of sakana is like an onein, and there is no chayv tefillah. And according to those rishonim who say that an onein is not chayv in tefillah tashlumin, it's because he was mufka from the chiyuv, and maybe we could extend that lundus and that definition to apply even to a case of sakana.
Poison, I want to ask you.
I think that's a valid argument.
The agarat itself is quite interesting, because he was nichnas into a churva, right? He said he went in there because he didn't want to be there, mafriya him when he was on the road.
Right.
What Tosfos's whole umdida is that it's clear that this was not a makom sakana,
no,
because otherwise he would have said.
Yeah.
Otherwise he would have said more that I did hear that it was makom sakana.
So right. Listen. Yeah. Right.
Right.
But not the churba.
Yeah. But the churba. But he entered the churba. When he entered the churba, he wasn't the makom sakana, because that's one of the definitions of a churba.
So
is that it's a makom sakana?
Isn't that one of the things he learned from Eliyahu HaNavi? That constitutes
then it wouldn't have been Avinu. He should have said Tzvila Ketzara, Mamish Tzvila Ketzara, because that is the brachah.
If he's allowed to enter into the churba, then he would say Tzvila Ketzara. That's a good point.
Right.
Well, Eliyahu HaNavi was trying to teach that he shouldn't go into the churba, but you're right. Once he's in the churba, he should daven Tzvila Ketzara.
So my question is, would you then do that, since you placed yourself in the Makom Sakana, and you could have removed yourself from the Makom Sakana, or does the situation itself automatically be Makai of you in Tzvila Ketzara?
Well, look, if you're in a makom sakana and you can get out of it, you know.
No, but you were. It sounded to me like you were saying, unless I'm misinterpreting.
No, what I meant was if you're in an ongoing situation. I mean, if you can run away, you know, somebody's about to shoot you. I think, you know, instead of dominating at that point, you should get out of the range of fire. You know, but you're right. I mean, if he's in a makom sakana, he's chayav tefilas avinenu. If he can get out of the makom sakana, then that's exactly what he should do.
Sorry,
I mean.
Yeah, all right. That was my second. The third thing is